Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, as we get set here for a Thursday edition of the show. We are barreling toward the weekend. I don't know why I use that word.
I don't either, but I kind of liked it.
Never have used that word before.
It's like you're going down a ski slope. You're just headed, you're almost there.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for the confidence boost here this morning. But yes, we are almost there. This is one of those weeks that I would rate as taking a little slower than others for whatever reason. But we are on the cusp of Friday. That means a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be on the panel. Mary Elizabeth Coleman, Steve Butts. We have Paul Hall and Entertainment. Cusimano will be here. And the legendary Charlie Brennan's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour.
Well.
Talk about something he's doing on Monday. So I have a bunch of different random things that I want to start with. And the first is, did you see the Post-Dispatch headline today on the front page?
What was it?
Okay.
I'll tell you.
So honestly, I thought you haven't. I promise you haven't seen it. Now, I don't get a hard copy of the Post-Dispatch, right? I can barely stomach the digital copy outside of the sports page, candidly and truthfully, but I pay for the digital because I seem to need it for the show. And here's a good example, but I didn't really have the hard copy. So I'm going to show you the front page of the paper today about the robotics team from, where's that from, Fred? Do you know? Are they from, we'll find out. It doesn't really matter because it's about the headline. There you go. So read it.
Robotics team eyes world title. Oopsie doodle.
They left the T out. So it says robotics team eyes world title. Somebody on Terry on Twitter said, you had only one job, and you screwed it up. That's pretty epic. It really is. I just had to point that out. And now on this next topic here, I'm going to ask Fred to pull out his watch and time me, because I know that if I go too long with this, I'm going to get yelled at and scolded. Not yelled at. Sue doesn't yell at me, but she does, you know, voice disapproval.
I just try to keep you know.
Start 2 minutes. No more than two minutes. Ready? Go.
Oh, here we go.
All right. Day three of the lunacy with Michelle Lee at Channel 5. Oh. And it all started with me just simply saying, because I saw some tweet that she sent out from Anthony Slaughter. And I did not know. I really didn't know. I think I had forgotten. Maybe I did know that she was an anchor reporter, not a weather person. And up at the top of her, at Michelle Lee TV, right at the very top, not in the bio, it says Michelle Lee, she, her. So all I did was say, you lost me at she, her. Well, this turned into a big thing, back and forth. I talked about it yesterday. Sue voiced disapproval. I can't let it go because...
Listen, can I say this? My only disapproval was, I just don't know that it does you or them any good to engage.
Well, I like to engage, but I mean, this is part of what I do. How much time do we have left, Fred?
Because I'm a minute 15 left.
So this is one of Michelle's responses today, because she's written, she tweets more than Jane does, and I didn't think that was possible. But here's what she said. And also, let me be clear. I am an ally to the LGBTQIA+ community. I also take pride, that's in, you know, capital, see what she did there, in using pronouns, especially if it adds clarity and solidarity to others. Let's put the pronoun stuff aside, okay, just for a second. How much time do we have left, Fred?
45 seconds.
Count me down if I get too close.
I'll ring the bell.
Count me down. Thank you very much. In what world of journalism should a reporter and an anchor be an ally to anyone, let alone the alphabet mafia? What are you talking about? And then she's you know, she's very proud of her Asian heritage. That's fine. But she says, I'm the first Asian anchor in St. Louis in 70. Who cares? I don't care at all. Nobody cares, really. But in particular, it is journalistic malpractice to brag about how you are an ally to the Alphabet Mafia. Do you think you can cover the Alphabet Mafia in a fair way, Michelle Lee? You cannot, because why? You are an ally to the Alphabet Mafia. Thank you, Fred. That's all. That's all I got.
That
was
good.
All I got. Thanks, on
Fred.
That. Oh, drives me nuts. You know, I kind of want to get this in just because I like it and it's fun. So let me start with this. We have Senator Schmidt coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Phil Holloway is going to join us this hour. We'll have Kilmeade in the next hour. Fred has got us loaded up today, and that's why he is a Hall of Famer. Jennings in the 5 o'clock hour. J. Peter Zane from Real Clear Investigation. So, you know, I talk, we have David Strom and Jazz Shaw and folks like that on from hotair.com. It's really one of my favorite sites. They have a video portion of Hot Air. And there's a young girl. I should find out who her name is. Her name is. I don't know who she is. She's got a very dry delivery. And it's very unpolished, but it kind of works. And I'll explain why. So they put this little compilation video together on Hot Air of just goofy, you know, people who use pronouns, lunatics, for example, on TikTok, et cetera. So here's an example. This woman goes on and on here.
Good morning. I need you to stick with me for the next minute. I have an urgent mutual aid request.
Wait, I got to stop it there. That was Dickie Betts. He died today. Did you know that?
No, I don't know. Wait, who is
Dickie Betts from the Allman Brothers? But we'll get to that later. Okay. But listen to what she says here, okay?
Good morning. I need you to stick with me for the next minute. I have an urgent mutual aid request.
An urgent mutual aid request. Do you know what that means?
Mutual aid request?
Yeah.
We need to help each other?
She's asking people to help her with her bills. She can't pay her rent and she can't pay for cat litter. Not making it up.
My mutual aid request is for $282.80. Let me break that down for y'all. This is how much we owed in rent this month. $1,992.80. This is how much we were able to come up with. $1,860. We are short on rent this month, $132.80.
Now, she goes on here. I'll kind of skip to the end because she's saying, please give me money, you know, and I'll track it.
If you can't donate, that's okay. Please share. Please boost. Press all the buttons on the side so that we can get to this $282 goal. I will be posting screenshots and proof of payment, as always. Thank you again. I appreciate you.
Thank you. So I'm not going to criticize that because let me just say this. If that works, I'm going to start doing it, and I won't need a job. So I just need people to tell me if that kind of stuff works. But here's the girl from Hot Air. She's pretty funny here.
Someone in the comments said she can hawk those redonkulous glasses for 80 cents, and then she'll only be short in even 132.
Yeah, she had really goofy glasses on.
Someone else said, I would help her out, but every week I take whatever I have left and throw the cash on the ground outside of a local housing project as reparations and to atone for my white privilege.
She was actually very complimentary. The comments were really, really good. All right, TikTok lunatic number two.
How did I realize that I'm gender fluid? Honestly, I noticed that my sense of self kept shifting and changing. And
this is a good one. This is one of my favorites. She's gender fluid, and she's trying to figure out why she's gender fluid. She just had this epiphany.
My connection to different words, my comfort level of different words kept changing. So, for example, some days I would be totally okay with being referred to as a woman or people using she, her pronouns
me
for
too.
Me. And then other days it would feel like the worst feeling in the universe.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand at first why it felt okay some days and then didn't feel okay other days. And same went for they, them pronouns, other kind of labels and identifiers.
But now she knows. She's gender fluid because she was going back and forth. She saw it on TikTok. And when she saw it on TikTok, she's like, holy crap, that's me. Here's another.
You are a woman and you are voting Republican. I don't care what your beliefs are. I just don't care what your beliefs are about anything else in the country. But if you're a woman and you're voting a Republican, f*** you.
Yeah, that was Katie Couric, actually. No, just kidding, in case you heard that reference. One more here.
Sarah, here's a question. If trans women...
Oh, let me set this up a little bit better. This is a doctor, okay? This is a question to a lunatic doctor. We have them at Wash U, I promise.
Sarah, here's a question. If trans women are women, do they need to have a prostate exam? Now, Jamie, I am not a medical doctor, but I can tell you that this is not the gotcha question that you think it is.
Oh, I guess she has a title of doctor, but she's not a medical doctor. So it's like Dr. Jill, right? But she makes it very clear here that anybody who thinks that a woman can't have a prostate issue. Well, you're just wrong.
Because doctors treat bodies, right? So if your body has a prostate, then yes, you need a prostate exam. If your body has a uterus, then yes, you need a pelvic exam, and so on and so forth.
If your body has a prostate, you're a male. If your body has a uterus, you are a female. And then finally, let's close this amazing section of audio up with our vice president, ladies and gentlemen. We often ask ourselves the question, we scratch our head, how in God's name did she get this close to the White House? And please, for the love of God, stop it. She's actually talking about something simple here, the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament.
Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson, do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022? Think
what?
About that, and what that talk about progress, you know, better late than never. But
she's saying that there were no brackets for the NCAA women's tournament until 2 years ago.
What?
It's, I mean, it goes back forever. I can't even, she couldn't be more wrong here.
Progress, and what that has done, because of course, when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket. But you know what, just how we love March Madness, and even just now allowing the women to have brackets and what that does to encourage people to talk more about the women's teams, to watch them. Now they're being covered, you know, and this is the reality. People used to say, oh, women's sports, who's interested? Well, if you can't see it, you won't be.
Yeah,
but when you see it, you realize, oh.
Oh, my God.
Maybe we need brackets for the border.
Maybe we need brackets for her brain, because she's such an idiot. It's unbelievable. And here, just as a, you know, a side note to our conversation yesterday, and I'm all for women making as much money as they can, but there is a figure out there of $200 million that the WNBA makes. That's their revenue. You know how much the NBA makes? $10 billion. So will Caitlin Clark increase the revenue? I think she will. I explained this yesterday. Because TV deals are based on ratings. You're going to get a better TV deal if you have better ratings. So we'll see where that takes us. But here's something else that's completely, you know, ridiculous from this president. You know, he went on Twitter, and I think he even said something in front of the media about this pay gap for WNBA players. But he has still not to say, you know, he said nothing about biological men taking spots from women in collegiate athletics in particular. He's quiet about that, but he wants to play the class warfare game inaccurately, talking about the WNBA. Pretty much par for the course. Senator Schmidt is coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Senator Schmidt standing by. This is something that Senator Cruz said yesterday on the topic we're going to discuss.
In the 237 years of our nation's history, I don't know that there has been a more shameful day in the United States Senate than today. What we just witnessed was a travesty.
So that is Texas Senator Ted Cruz. And I know that our senator from Missouri, Eric Schmidt, also feels the same way. He was on the floor of the Senate expressing some of those sentiments. He's with us this afternoon. Senator, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
I'm fantastic. But tell me what happened yesterday, because it is interesting. I know I saw. By the way, you're like Fox News' latest star. I don't know if you know that. Are they compensating you? I've seen you all over Fox News, Eric.
Listen, I'm the official something of the Mark Rudin Show.
That's right.
Those are my roots.
But this is serious, right? I mean, what Schumer did yesterday.
Yeah. It is. So to put that in perspective, Mark, and in our constitutional order, articles of impeachment, when they come over to the Senate gets sworn in, and we're essentially jurors. There's never been an instance in our country's history where there's not been a trial for somebody still in office or still alive. So every single time, you can vote how you want to at the end of that trial. Once the evidence is presented, there are witnesses, there's counsel present. It's prescribed in our Constitution in 200 plus years of precedent. And what happened in one afternoon yesterday was Chuck Schumer bulldozed all of that in an afternoon, right? So we didn't have a trial for the first time. They moved to essentially dismiss it before a trial was conducted. And again, it really set on fire our constitutional order. So is look, these precedents, I made this statement on the Senate floor, 100 years from now, there'll be people sitting in those seats. We don't know their names and, you know, or what their backgrounds or life experience will be, but they'll look back on that day as precedent for what they can do. And once you kind of break that seal, it's really hard to go back. And so it was a really bad day for our republic, because our founders sort of set this process up for a reason and not to be bypassed by Chuck Schumer, who I think will go down as one of the worst U.S. senators of all time.
So, well, you're not going to find an argument for me on that. So there are two votes, and I just wanted you to kind of walk the audience through this, and me, I'm a little confused on this too. So there was a vote, 51-48, that found the first article charging Mayorkas with, quote, willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law to be unconstitutional. And that was 51-48. Now, Lisa Murkowski, who is a Republican from Alaska, voted present on that one, but she did vote with the Republicans on the second one, which was an article that charged Mayorkas with breach of public trust that the Democrats said was also unconstitutional. So maybe explain the differences between those two votes. And I don't know. Do you understand what Lisa did there?
Yeah, so there are two essentially articles or charges that came over in the articles of impeachment. The first was that essentially Mayorkas had willfully subverted the laws of the United States. For example, parole is supposed to be an individualized adjudication, not based on, you know, just what country you're from. He's abused that authority. But principally, the main charge, and interestingly, when I was attorney general, we brought the lawsuit on the Remain in Mexico. A lot of that, those arguments and back and forth from judges and lawyers was used as part of this, because Mayorkas is sort of caught red-handed. If you come here illegally, the law says you shall be detained. And then you're deported. Like if you're a felon from another country, right, and you're detained, you shall be deported. There's no may, right? And so Mayorkas instructed his employees in a memo to essentially ignore that. So that's not what we do in this country. So for Republican-Democrat administrations for a very, very, very long time, that's what you do. Unless you get asylum or there's some adjudication, otherwise you're detained and deported. That's not what we do in this country right now. It's essentially catch and release, right? You're detained. They release them into the interior of the United States, you know, with a court date sometime in the 2030s, and good luck with that, right? So he's willfully subverting the laws of the United States and against the intent of Congress. The second charge is that he lied to Congress about all of this. And so that charge is a felony. The other precedent that was established yesterday by the Democrats and by their vote is that a felony is not a high crime or a misdemeanor. So you think about that. It's just so dangerous for political expediency to just – they just wanted to get rid of this thing as quickly as they could because they know the border is a disaster and Joe Biden is in trouble electorally. But, you know, he was afraid of, what, another couple news cycles? I just don't think it was worth all that to do that kind of damage to the Senate and to our constitutional order and our republic ultimately. So we should have heard all that evidence from, you know, those two articles. And then the Democrats could have voted no. Right. But they didn't want to do that. They, again, bulldozed all that precedent in our Constitution.
By the way, even Mitt Romney agrees with you on that final point, which maybe says a lot. But look, this is a situation where let me give an example of what could happen in the future. For example, let's hope that this doesn't happen. Well, let's say Democrats once again control the House. They impeach President Donald Trump. The Senate then is controlled, possibly could happen here, by Republicans. So the Senate then could just ignore a House impeachment vote anytime based on this precedent.
You're damn right. And so this is the deal. And by the way, I'll point out that in the first Trump impeachment, it was a Republican Senate. right? So a trial was you know, there was a trial.
That's a good
president
point.
Of the United
right.
States. And so, again, the Democrats, just like when Harry Reid did the nuclear option as relates to judges, there was a consequence, right? And just like now, Chuck Schumer has essentially detonated the nuclear weapon on impeachment trials, there will be a consequence, and I think he'll regret it sooner than he thinks.
I love that Mayorkas's quote here in the statement is that, you know, essentially that is further indication that there was no evidence or constitutional grounds to justify impeachment, which is exactly not the case, but he's allowed right. to say it, right?
Right. Well, and actually, so there's three states of being in the Senate, Mark. There's a legislative calendar, which, you know, you debate bills. There's an executive calendar where you have appointments because we do personnel, right? We do these confirmations. And then there's an impeachment calendar. So there's only three states of being in the United States Senate. And you move into that third, the impeachment calendar, it's a serious thing. Like, all 100 senators are in there. You are sworn in as, effectively as a juror. So this, you know, it's an important thing. And so to dismiss that out of hand without having the evidence, again, regardless of what you sort of think you what might believe or vote later, is just, it's, again, it's unprecedented. And I
yeah.
know people use that term a lot, but it truly is unprecedented in the history of our country.
Well, and I would also argue, you know, I've been talking a lot about media bias here, and we always do on this particular show, but this is another case where the media is just simply not doing its job, because they're just going along with the flow and the, you know, the agenda from this administration, which that you would think that they would maybe put this in historical context or offer the examples that I have here, but they won't do that.
It's a total joke, Mark. I mean, there are some so-called reputable media, you know, companies and legacy corporate media companies that were saying the trial was cut short. There was no trial. That's the whole point.
Yeah, right. You exactly.
Know, there was no trial. But they either are too stupid to know that, or that dishonest. And I would get questions afterwards because I was the first person to object, because Chuck Schumer tried to lay some groundwork for some rules. Like, oh, Republicans can have 30 minutes to talk about this. And I just wasn't having it. Our constitutional duty is not negotiable. And so I stood up and objected to that unanimous consent. It was the first thing, and so it was obviously widely covered. So I just felt that strongly about this, that we have a job to do. And no matter how you vote to remove or acquit, you've got to have a trial. But again, now that's all gone. So Chuck Schumer, I think, nuked impeachment trials forever, potentially, depending on how the makeup of the Senate is.
Hey, I want to ask you about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and you've asked Jennifer Granholm, the Energy Secretary, some questions. By the way, kind of on a side note, even Scotland today, this is kind of related to climate change, so separate but related, but they came out and admitted, look, these climate goals that we've set are ridiculously unrealistic. I'm using my words here. And we can't really do what we said we're going to do, so we're going to cancel some of that stuff. And this has been a little bit of a pattern, but tell me what is going on with Jennifer Granholm and the questions you have for her.
Yeah. And so to your point, like, they can't ever tell you, they want to get to net zero by 2050 or 2030 or however, you know, whatever they want to measure. They can't tell you how much it's going to cost, you know, and they can't tell you what the impact would be. Right. So it's really weird. It's like a religion. It's totally bizarre.
It
it's like, it's sort of like sun worship, and there's sacrifice of animals because you can't have cows now because of flatulence. It's nuts. Like, honestly, it's totally nuts. And so anyway, we had Secretary Granholm in committee yesterday. And you know, it's been written about, we had a pretty testy exchange because I asked her, I said, you know, when was the last time you spoke with a member of the Chinese Communist Party? Because we had reports that she consulted with her Chinese counterpart right before the Strategic Petroleum Reserve was drained, essentially, in an election year ploy by Joe Biden in 2021. And she didn't have any good answers for that. And then I asked her if we've, which I knew the answer is, has that been replenished? And the answer is no. So here's the consequence now of them doing that in this election year ploy. We have historically low strategic petroleum reserve. That matters for our national security. And guess who has their highest? China. Guess who bought a lot of that strategic petroleum reserve? China. Guess what company did it? A company that was funded by Hunter Biden. And so it's just, honestly, Mark, you know, when you get in these committee hearings and you dig in, and you know me, I'm going to ask the tough
Absolutely.
Questions. Because there's no scrutiny. These people, they fly around in their private jets and they go to these climate conferences and they pat themselves on the back. Meanwhile, our middle class has been hollowed out. There's not a market for EVs. People are losing their jobs. It's making energy less affordable, less available for those who need it most. But they're totally insulated from this. And so they deserve to have to confront, you know, tough questions on this. And so anyway, for our country's sake.
I hate to point out the obvious again, but there again, if you were given, you know, accurate information by the legacy media on some of this stuff, and they, you know, they keep standing by the notion that this is all settled science when we've had more and more that's come out where, you know, it's not settled science, unfortunately. One more topic before I let you go. It's an important one, and we don't have a lot of time, but look, the situation with Iran and Israel, the president apparently tells Bibi, you know, take the win. It is tricky because you don't know how much U.S. military engagement should be expected here, but what would you say about that situation currently?
That Israel gets to decide as a sovereign country what their response is going to be. And what you shouldn't be doing is what Chuck Schumer did on the Senate floor and Joe Biden agreed with him, which was the call for a new election because they don't like Netanyahu in the middle of a war. I mean, think about that. That talk about unprecedented. That's not happened before. So it's just, and you know why they're doing it, Mark? They know what's happening because they have a growing pro-Hamas wing in the Democrat Party, and they're afraid of losing in November because it's going to hurt their margins.
Yep,
that's the truth.
Well, it is.
That's why they're doing this. And think about that. For a country like Israel, one of our great allies, for us to be calling for new elections and telling them how they need to defend their citizens, it's a joke.
All right, I lied. One more topic, just because this was a big week. We usually talk about the Cardinals. We're not going to talk about this team, but you have to have thoughts on the passing of Whitey.
Oh, my gosh. You know, growing up in the 80s in St. Louis, I mean, I idolized Whitey Herzog, and he was brilliant. He became a friend. I got to know him. I got to sit through one of the coolest things I got to do, Mark. I got to sit through an entire baseball game with Whitey Herzog and just talked and asked him every question
That's
I ever wanted to ask
awesome.
Him. It was so cool, and we remained in touch. He's got a great family. And he'll be missed. I mean, he made an indelible mark on baseball, his style, the way he innovated. He was creative. He understood rosters intuitively. You know, the sabermetrics and all the analytics now basically show on paper what Whitey had in his head, you know, in the 1980s. And he's a great manager. He's a great guy, and he'll be missed.
Well stated. Senator Eric Schmidt, always great to have you on. You have a great week.
All right, my friend. We'll see you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
We have Sooz News coming up in the next hour. Also, a quick visit. You just heard from Steve Butts. He has a MoDoc cleanup project that he always promotes, and that's coming up this weekend. Actually, Charlie Brennan has something that he does along these lines, and he's going to do on Monday, and he's going to join us tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour. We have Aerosmith tickets to give away in the 5 o'clock hour tonight. All that is coming up. We are joined right now by our good friend Phil Holloway, Fox News legal analyst, former DA, of course, member of the Rational Ground COVID Policy Task Force think tank as well. Phil Holloway, how are you? Welcome back.
Oh, I'm doing great, buddy. I hope you are. I hope all is well in St. Louis.
It is pretty good. We're enjoying a nice spring, although there's some storms in the forecast for today. But you must be busy lately because I have not spoken with you. We've communicated a little bit via text message and on the Twitter, if you will. But you've been in court a lot lately, haven't you?
Yeah, it's one of those things. You know, in the springtime, a lot of judges want to make up for lost time and everything that didn't get done during spring break. You know, they want to pile it on. Of course, the media is keeping us all busy. There's just one thing after another, from Donald Trump to the situation here in Atlanta. There's certainly much to talk about.
Well, give me an update on the situation with Fannie Willis, because that seems to have been eclipsed a little bit by what's going on in New York. We'll get to that, Phil, in just a moment. But what is there anything new on the case in Atlanta right now?
So with respect to her disqualification issue, you know, the defense has raised the issue of conflict of interest and, of course, has said that she should be disqualified for that, and because she was essentially talking negatively about the defendants in public, which is a violation of certain legal requirements for prosecutors. The Court of Appeals is now considering whether it wants to agree to take up the question of her disqualification on appeal. It's a two-part process. The trial judge has to agree to allow the defense to appeal his ruling pre-trial, and he said yes, but of course the Court of Appeals also has to agree to hear it. If they agree to hear it, Then they move on to the second question. Does she or does she not get to stay on as the prosecutor? Now, that if that happens, we can expect oral argument, I would say, in about 60 to 90 days from now. So that will be sometime over the summer.
How does that, okay, then that'll kind of wind us into the situation in New York. That, is that going to time out where he goes from one trial to the next, basically?
Well, no, he's not going to wind up on trial here in Fulton County in the foreseeable future, because this issue has to run its course through the appeals court. There's another issue brought by co-defendant Harrison Floyd as to whether or not Willis even had jurisdiction to bring this case in the first place. And that issue is likewise on a similar path to potentially to be heard by the Court of Appeals pretrial. There are other things, of course, that have to be litigated still. They're still having pretrial motions. And I just don't see, honestly, a trial being able to occur in that case here in the foreseeable future.
So let's move to New York here, because you made the point on the X, formerly Twitter, that this is certainly a kangaroo court. The judge is doing weird things. We know about the bias that's involved here. They are seemingly having some success picking jurors, Phil. How do you assess this right now?
Yeah, so they're moving much quicker than many, including myself, would have expected. The goal is to find an impartial and unbiased a group of 12 people. And I think really that under the circumstances, the deck is stacked against Trump in Manhattan. He only won, I think, 12% of the vote there last time around. And so, look, if he can get 10 to 12% of the jury, so a handful of people, one or two or maybe even three, that are at least open-minded enough to consider some of the honestly, the very dubious charges against him. The legal theory is just absurd, in my opinion. But in any event, if he can get a handful of fair-minded people who will say, look, first off, this may not be a crime, and even if it is, they haven't proved it, then he could probably eke out a hung jury and a mistrial. I don't see a unanimous group of 12 out of Manhattan acquitting Donald Trump.
What law did he break, Phil? What law did President Trump break there?
Well, I don't think he broke any kind of law, in my opinion, but the district attorney is saying that he committed what's called, bookkeeping fraud, or basically that he entered something into the books of the Trump Corporation, that was in error or was fraudulent. Now, if true, that would be a misdemeanor. However, they are saying that because he did so, according to the DA, with the intent to cover up the commission of another crime, which they did not specify, they're saying that elevates it to a felony violation of the law in New York, and the statute of limitations would not have expired on a felony. But the problem, Mark, is that the indictment does not specify what Donald Trump is accused of doing, is specifically with respect to what other crime he was attempting to allegedly hide. And you've got to put somebody on notice of exactly what they are accused of if your indictment is going to pass muster under the Sixth Amendment, which says that you've got a right to be put on notice of that. And so it's just a problematic case all the way around.
Hey, Phil, how about these protests at Columbia University where there have actually been arrests? And then you have the nutbags at Google that decided to protest their employers, and they were fired. I'm actually a little surprised with a woke company like that. But we're seeing some action that we haven't seen maybe in the last 6 months take place.
Yeah, and I'm surprised to see it in the context of Google. And, of course, I'm surprised to see it in New York. But I'm pleasantly surprised, because when these folks decide that they're going to protest, that's one thing. But when they do so and they violate my rights and your rights to travel and to engage in interstate commerce and to go about the business of our daily lives, then they've committed a crime. And they may not be hitting anybody, they may not be shooting anybody, but that is not a peaceful protest. It's a breach of the peace. And honestly, I don't understand why, with the Golden Gate Bridge, for example, in situations like that, why police just in some places sit back and allow them to break the law. They falsely imprisoned all of those people on the Golden Gate Bridge, and that's a felony crime. And if you did it, or if I did it, we'd be thrown under the jail, and we'd be left there to rot, probably without bail. But if you do it in some of the woke lefty places, like we saw in Chicago and San Francisco and even up in the Seattle area, you just get to do whatever you want, whenever you want, without regard to being punished in any way. And I think you can draw a straight line all the way back to the riots and the 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 autonomous zones that we saw back in the Summer of Love in 2020, where these people engaged in that kind of conduct with impunity. You could draw a line from that to what we're seeing in some of these places today. But hopefully more jurisdictions will follow the lead of New York and start dragging these folks off to jail.
Hey, Phil, I subscribed to the YouTube channel today. Tell folks about that.
Well, we started a – look, I've been very blessed. I'm very pleased. It's with the youtube.com/Philip Holloway or at Inside the Law. And that's a new podcast, video podcast that I'm doing on YouTube. And the goal here is to bring people inside the real criminal justice system, not the justice system that they may think that we have, you know, from watching TV or the movies, but with the real thing. We're gonna show you what I see in my professional life and what I've seen throughout my career, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly or anything in between. We'll take you inside the law, and I would encourage you and anybody who's interested in learning, whether you're a true crime junkie or you just have intellectual curiosity about the justice system, to check it out.
I love it. Good stuff. It's right up our alley here on this show for sure. Sue Thomas, a big fan of that stuff. Phil, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Great to hook up again. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Always happy to be here, brother.
On the topic, Sue, I just thought about this because I haven't read the whole thing carefully, but this is a comment in connection with O.J. Simpson. And do you remember, we never mentioned this last week when he died. Remember the whole thing about the book, If I Did It?
Oh, that's right.
Judith Regan was the one. So Judith Regan wrote a long, long piece. It's so long that I did not have time to read it because I was skipping around trying to see some of the details. But it's in the Hollywood Reporter today. And it was basically, and you know, this was an interview that was done in 2006. And then Fox, she's very critical of Rupert Murdoch because Fox spiked it. And they ran it in 2018, I think. So some of this is more recent. But, you know, she says in that particular interview, he basically says he remembers the knife. He says, I'm the queen of not flinching. Judith Regan says, thanks, Mom. When I didn't flinch, he just spilled. I grabbed the knife. I do remember that. He was stone cold. We remembered the knife. He remembered grabbing the knife. Yes, he did. As things got heated, I remember Nicole fell and hurt herself. And this guy, Ron Goldman, kind of got into a karate thing. And I said, well, you think you can kick my ass? And I remember I grabbed the knife. And to be honest, after that, I don't remember except I'm standing there and there's all kinds of stuff around. And Judith Regan says, what kind of stuff? And he says, blood. I've never seen so much blood in my life. Now, I don't really. And then he says, I don't think any two people could be murdered the way they were without everybody being covered in blood. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. Yeah, because you did it. So that was as close as you got to a confession on OJ, but that was interesting, kind of revisiting that. Interesting piece. Hollywood Reporter may dig into that just a little bit more. We got Sue's News coming up after the break.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.